from the birthplace of radio's greatest era. Now, from New York, it's Radio Night Live with Kevin McCullough. Unlike anything else on radio today, it's a front row seat for great information with today's leading experts. Travel with a third generation travel icon, Linda Perillo. The Fox News Medical All-Stars featuring Dr. Mark Siegel, Dr. Marty McCary, Dr. Jeanette Nishwat, and the OG, Dr. Nicole Sapphire. Legal analysis from former prosecutor and court journalism superstar, Imran Ansari, and Christine Nicholas. The quintessential heartbeat to New York hospitality. All joining legendary broadcast pro Kevin McCullough on a mission unlike any other, united to bring back New York. Now, live from Studio 111, here's Kevin McCullough.
And welcome. You have found Radio Night Live. It is the Thursday legal edition of the broadcast, and we are certainly thankful to have you with us. Lots to talk about. As you know, Super Tuesday was this last week, and that meant that the lion's share of the delegates for the nominations for both political parties were decided. Joe Biden and Donald Trump walking away with big amounts of those delegates that will be pledged towards their candidacies at their conventions, respectively, this summer. And of course, yesterday, on Wednesday, Nikki Haley dropped out of the race, citing, you know, kind of a lack of an ability to get to the presidency any further. So with the kind of pathway cleared now, the only thing that really stands in the way of the upcoming presidential elections might be the ongoing legal proceedings. So what a perfect topic to bring Imran Ansari back on the air with us here on Legal Night. Imran, great to see you as always.
Good to see you, Kevin.
Before the Super Tuesday events went down on Super Monday, the Supreme Court announced that they had made a decision, and it was a significant weight in the decision, 9-0. And you had Clarence Thomas and Ketanji Brown Jackson in agreement and voting the same way on a case. Your assessment of how, I don't know, kind of slam dunk the court saw this issue?
Yeah, Kevin, I mean, I think it's indicative that the court saw this as an issue that is a non-issue. And what do I mean by that? It was basically a sweeping decision across the bench saying you can't keep a individual off the ballot for these reasons. A state cannot come in on a federal election and make their own decision in terms of keeping someone off the ballot, of course, this time Trump, and really needlessly and impermissibly wading into the political sphere. So I expected that it was going to be a decision that would be unanimous. You got the sense that both sides of the bench, meaning the conservative and the more liberal side, were in agreement, at least in concept, that this was going to be the decision that the court would render.
This was really kind of a question of federalism, wasn't it? More clearly defining by that, I mean, what states have the right to do and what the federal government has the responsibility to do. They kind of more well defined, because they did say to the states, look, for state held offices, you guys can determine the eligibility. But the 14th Amendment, Section 3 and Section 5 both seem to be very clear in that it's Congress that determines for federal office who is and who is not able to be defined that way. And you guys as states and states courts and states officers just kind of way overstepped there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I think that's what, the court's decision stood for. I don't think they wanted to wade into the question of allowing the courts or permitting the courts to take a candidate off the ballot and having, states stand apart from other states when there's a federal election, happening in, this year. So,
well, on some level, the parties, though they contribute to the public process, the parties are private organizations, and their members are determined by whatever they want to determine them to be, right? So you register as a Republican, you register as a Democrat, and if Republicans want to have, you know, whatever rules they want to that govern their you know, platform and procedures and everything else, they can do that because they're not an entity of the government itself. Same with the Democrats, if they want to have different qualifications or what. And you see that in the nominating conventions, the way they gather delegates is different. Democrats have these things called superdelegates and Republicans don't, and the processes by which they go about it. So I thought, you know, for a state to insert itself and to say, to a private organization, you can't have the person that you want.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's a somewhat of a technicality in the ruling, but what you get, the main takeaway here is that the Supreme Court really stated that you can't use this 14th Amendment aspect in order to kick Trump off the ballot here. And I think it's the decision now, but I think there's going to be a lot more to come in terms of cases and issues percolating up regarding Donald Trump to this.
Well, no doubt about that. And we've got lots of that stuff to talk about yet. But let me just ask you on this issue, because you do a lot of media and you're a very down the middle guy. You call balls and strikes for what they are. And that's why I love talking to you, because I know I'm going to get an honest assessment from you. But it was freakish to me how much the center left punditry was mad at the court from a standpoint that they were acting like the court was only the right wing of the court. They completely ignored the fact that Elena Kagan, Sonia Sotomayor, and Ketanji Brown Jackson all sided with the conservative majority. And usually, if you read like Alito or Ginsburg's writing about the court and kind of their inner working, they always were talking about how, yeah, there's ideological things that separate the justices on the bench. And unfortunately, the two or three really controversial cases that the court deals with every year are kind of the ones that, you know, kind of define those. But that the majority of the time, these justices see the Constitution as the Constitution. And 9-0 decisions are not something that are all that common. So when they are, I feel like everyone should take a look at that and go, hey, wait a second. This was everybody from different judicial viewpoints that came to the same conclusion, which means it had to be the right conclusion.
Yeah. Now, Kevin, I mean, this, there was a unanimous decision here that it's the purview of Congress who could decide an election challenge under Section 3, right? Although there are some disagreements as to the extent of that decision, and a narrow majority went and stated that it was, you know, through legislation that could be done. So you have a unanimous vote from the justices there as to the decision that we see regarding Donald Trump and being on the ballot, and, you know, the role of Congress versus the states. But I think under that veneer, there's going to be some splits that may become more apparent as some of these other election and Donald Trump related cases make their way up to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, no, that's perfectly well said. And that suits us for our next conversation, because obviously the next big docket item for the Supreme Court, and they have to decide this quickly because you're still in the midst of the presidential election, is the immunity case. And that's going to be heard probably next month. Jack Smith rolled the dice big time, saying, I'm going to make sure that Trump can't claim immunity on this. And I don't think that we're going to see a 9-0 decision on this. When we come back from this first break, we'll get into that a little bit. Also, legal scholars are saying that the Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade case in Georgia has just gone bonkers off the rails. What is happening down there? We'll have Imran kind of explain it all to us, because it seems like by the day, and they've started taking more testimony today. Everybody thought they were almost done. Nope. Now there's whistleblowers that are weighing in. What does all that mean? We'll get that from Imran as we go on as well. It's Radio Night Live. It's Legal Night. Stay here. Hi, Kevin McCullough. Wish there was an easier way to navigate the world of real estate. If only there was a way to learn from the best. Well, now there is. Saturdays at 10, our very own Dottie Herman, Vice Chair of Douglas Elliman, gives you the inside track to what is hot in real estate. Stay one step ahead in today's seller's market as Dottie gives her tips on how to make it through the tricky waters. Doesn't matter if you're new to the game or a seasoned vet, you need to listen to Eye on Real Estate. Dottie and her team of experts will guide you as sellers and buyers to make sure you're getting the best value for your property. Whether you want to become a real estate agent or work within the business, there is no better person to learn from than the great Dottie Herman. Why? Because she is the best. Period. So tune in, Eye on Real Estate, Saturdays at 10 on AM 970 The Answer. That's Eye on Real Estate, Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock on AM 970 The Answer.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
In Two Creations, Bara and Asa, Emmanuel J. Charles reveals that life on Earth was not evolved, but created by Almighty God. He explains that the first three verses of the Bible should be considered as three distinct events that took place in four different eras of Earth's history. This book presents undeniable claims supported by logical reasoning, scientific evidence, and biblical truth. Get your copy now.
Available on Amazon now.
Craving that signature Sunday sauce? Michael's of Brooklyn will make your place a must. Join Michael's of Brooklyn Sauce of the Month Club. Receive a different jar of Michael's of Brooklyn pasta sauce, homemade pasta and biscotti each month for 6 months. Make your home the place to be with Michael's of Brooklyn signature fresh marinara right in your home. Visit michaelsofbrooklyn.com and order online. That's michaelsofbrooklyn.com. Michael's of Brooklyn, serving the community since 1964.
The madness is here, and at Route 22 Toyota in Hillside, New Jersey, that means slam dunk savings all month long. Our buddy Alex Kinsella, he's the general manager at Route 22 Toyota, called to fill us in on all the madness going on, like zero down leases on all your favorite Toyota models. And low 2.99% APR financing for up to 72 months. Plus, at Route 22 Toyota, everyone drives, thanks to their goal of 100% credit approval. Call them at 973-705-8905 to get pre-approved today. Again, that's 973-705-8905 to get pre-approved for a loan on a brand new Toyota from Route 22 Toyota. It's all part of their slam dunk savings going on right now, where you can save with the madness of zero down leases and low 2.99% APR financing for up to 72 months. Go see Alex and his team at Route 22 Toyota in Hillside, New Jersey, and remember to tell them Joe Piscopo sent you.
Subject to primary lender approval, not all buyers will qualify. Financing on select new Toyota models through Toyota Financial Services. See deal for details. Expires April 1st, 2024.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Hugh Hewitt explains what the open border is doing politically.
Do you know that Ellis Island was open for 62 years and admitted a grand total of 12 million people? That's probably what's happened in the last 3 years. We're not sure about it. It's a disaster. It is going to allow an unprecedented turnout of Republicans to occur. And I think it's destroying Joe Biden's presidency.
The Hugh Hewitt Show. Weekday mornings at 3, right before Joe Piscopo at 6 on AM 970. The Answer. Our hosts tell it like it is. No safe spaces here. AM 970. The Answer.
What a little moonlight can do.
It's Radio Night Live. Here's Kevin McCullough.
Welcome back. It's Legal Night. He's Imran Ansari of ABK Law, Idala, Bertuna, and Kamens. I think the top law firm in all of the New York tri-state area, but I'm biased because I like these guys. I like Imran. I like Arthur Idala. I like the judge. I like all your judges over there, Imran. You guys, you really have a very wide swath of experience and perspective on your counsel there. And I just think that benefits people when they come to you for help.
Yeah, no, we have a deep bench of great minds here at ABK Law. And I'm blessed to be working with these individuals, calling them as partners in the firm, including the three retired judges who I often work with on cases. And then many of us are former prosecutors. We sort of take from that experience. You know, many of us are experienced trial attorneys. And you know, we have a great great firm here. You know, I just I took a verdict last week, Kevin, on a personal injury case where they offered $25,000 to settle the case, which was an insulting amount, even though my client only had, you know, soft tissue injuries and things like that. But I was able to get the jury to render a verdict of $500,000 for her.
That is significantly different.
Yeah. So it was a quick, short but sweet trial, and the client was happy.
Yeah, well, that's, and you are the head of the civil litigation part of the firm. So if you go over there and you need someone to help you in those civil issues, that's Imran's bailiwick now. He is a former prosecutor. He understands the criminal side perfectly as well. But his real kind of sweet spot these days is those civil cases. All right. We were talking about constitutional stuff in the last segment. We were talking about the ballot access issue. And to be honest, I wasn't surprised at all. I thought it was kind of an open and shut case. The 14th Amendment seems pretty clear who has the right to say, and you know this as well as anybody, Imran, standing in a case, I mean, so many cases get thrown out because whoever's making the claim says, well, you don't have the right to make that claim. So the court says it doesn't even matter what the facts are. You're the wrong person to make the claim, so goodbye. That's kind of what they said to the Colorado court. States aren't the people that can decide who's on the federal ballot. And I think it's important that this precedent was set because, you know, if they were able to do it this time, Imran, then next time the Republicans might try to keep the Democrat off the ballot or, you know, come up with all kinds of cockamamie stuff that that should be left into the hands of the voters, trusting the voters to make those decisions long term instead of states kind of, you know, rigging the system in some way. But there is another case coming. It is probably going to be heard, I think, in April of this year. It is Jack Smith. It is whether or not presidential immunity applies to President Trump for the stuff that he was involved with around the January 6th activity. What's the, if you were scorecarding the immunity case and you kind of had a hunch about the way it was going to go, did you learn anything about the court in terms of what you think this next case might look like based on, you know, anything they wrote or said?
No, Kevin, I think this case is going to be completely different. And, you know, yes, it's involving Donald Trump, but it has the very heavy and weighty issue as to whether, you know, the former president can enjoy presidential immunity from criminal prosecutions for the conduct that is alleged to have occurred while he was in office. Right. That's a,
and for the record, you thought it was a good thing the court took the case.
Yeah, I do, because it's a question that's going to really, it's going to color the election in many ways. Right. Whether these were proper prosecutions and whether, you know, Donald Trump can or could be prosecuted for these things. And I think that the court has its role, it exists to answer and render decisions, to give guidance under the law for questions like this. I mean, this is a pretty much a ultimate question for the Supreme Court. You know, it's a question that has not been really decided to this extent by the court. And I think that it was a good decision for them to take that question.
And is that a little bit unusual for us to be, I don't know, 200 and whatever years old as a nation, and for us not to have, to have a novel question before the court? That doesn't happen just every day.
No, it doesn't. And I think that's why this decision and the fact that they've taken it up, and we're probably going to have a decision on this by summer, right, at the end of the term.
You're going to have to.
yeah. All the more important in this year. You know,
especially Trump leading. Before we get to the substance of that, do you think that these cases, because I was watching Jonathan Turley and Andy McCarthy on Fox News's Super Tuesday coverage on Tuesday night, and they would cut to Shannon Bream, who was the Supreme Court correspondent for them for a long time. She's a law former lawyer herself. But they asked, you know, about these cases, and because they have gone to the Supreme Court, does anybody honestly think that they'll be decided and adjudicated And even if the Supreme Court comes back and says, okay, that Trump doesn't have immunity, he has to stand trial, these Supreme Court short layovers, are they delaying the calendar to such a degree that this is going to be, they're not even going to be able to get the case tried before November 5th rolls around?
Well, yeah, I mean, you have multiple cases, right, pending, and I know that the state court, let's just separate the federal cases versus the state court cases. I know Jack Smith has been trying to get the trial going and underway on a quick fashion before the election. You have the state case, I believe March 25th is the New York case that Alvin Bragg brought against Donald Trump, and I believe it's set to go on that date, but we'll see if there's any other delays going on. But I think that there's going to be a delay on these trials, no matter, you know, you may get a decision from the court, which sort of puts the cases on ice, right? But, you know, I think that the fact that the Supreme Court is hearing it will render a decision. There's other delays in the making with the trial. I don't know if these cases are going to go to trial before the election.
Yeah. That seems to be the consensus of Andy McCarthy and Jonathan Turley as well. Okay, so Jack Smith's bringing the case to the Supreme Court, and he's arguing what? What is he asking the court to consider?
So the question presented to the court is essentially whether Donald Trump can be afforded immunity for allegations of crime or criminal acts that may have occurred during his tenure as president. And if the court decides that he can enjoy that presidential immunity, well, you know, that's going to put a roadblock on these prosecutions, right? Which are based on his acts or allegations of how he acted while he was in office. So it's really going to be a critical question. And I think, you know, it's interesting that Jack Smith has sort of escalated this on a fast track. He was requesting that the court hear it in an expeditious manner because it really could be the death knell on some of the cases that he's handled.
Well, if they decide against him, I think that nearly all of them go away. If they find partially for him, then that allows some of the cases to continue on in different kind of packages, I guess, depending on what the judges say. But it is going to be interesting. And it's going to be something we're going to be watching here on Legal Night. Stay with us.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters reporting. President Biden will announce plans to establish a temporary port on the Gaza coast to boost humanitarian aid for the beleaguered territory. That's according to senior administration officials who spoke on the condition of anonymity to preview the announcement that's expected later Thursday during his State of the Union speech. The official said the project won't require American troops on the ground to build a pier that's intended to help facilitate a significant increase in shipments of food, medicine, and other essential items. The House has passed a bill that would require federal authorities to detain illegal immigrants who've been accused of theft. Republicans are seizing on the recent death of a nursing student in Georgia to rebuke President Biden's border policies just hours ahead of his State of the Union address. On Wall Street, the Dow by 130 points. This is SRN News.
Hi, it's Mike Gallagher. I hope you'll join me on a cruise to Alaska over 4th of July. It will be an adventure of a lifetime. Book your cabin today. Call 855-565-5519 or online. Just go to PatriotsAlaskaCruise.com.
Take it from Charlie Kirk.
As I read this New York Times article, so I read the New York Times so you don't have to. Salem Media Group reaches more people than they realize. This is my favorite line of the whole thing. Their hosts are big names, and they have huge reach, which makes them one of the most powerful forces in conservative media.
Tap into our big names to help grow your business.
To find out more about it, reach out to our general sales manager, Laura Schaefer, by calling 212-857-9639.
Want more of AM 970 The Answer and our hosts? Then interact with us. Follow us on Twitter for breaking news, what's coming up on the radio, thoughts from our hosts, deals from our advertisers, and more. Our handle is at AM 970 The Answer. Come on, tweet with us. AM 970 The Answer.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
This is Dennis Prager. I am excited to announce the all-new Pragertopia Plus. You can listen to my show whenever it's convenient for you, all commercial-free and all on demand. Now with Prager Plus, search topics, guests, and segments all the way back to 2010. And now a truly exciting new benefit, my monthly online video get-together for Pragertopia Plus members only. This is where for an hour each month, Pragertopia Plus members get an exclusive chance to ask me anything. That's right, anything. It's on video. I'll be talking to you and answering your questions. We may even have a special guest every now and then. I've never done this. Submit your questions for me at Pragertopia.com. This is only available to Pragertopia Plus members. This is our chance to connect like never before. Go to Pragertopia.com or click the banner at DennisPrager.com.
War has played a key role in the history of the United States, from the nation's founding right down to the present. Wars made the United States independent, kept it together, increased its size, and established it as a global superpower. Hi, I'm James Early, host of the Key Battles of American History podcast. In each episode, I discuss American history through the lens of the most important battles of America's wars. To start listening now, go to ParthenonPodcast.com or search Key Battles of American History on your favorite podcasting platform.
Want to listen to AM 970 The Answer on the go? There's an app for that. Download our free smartphone app so you can listen to all your favorite shows, keep up with us on social media, enter contests, win prizes, and even interact with our hosts all in one place. Just search AM 970 The Answer in the iPhone App Store or the Google Play Store for the Android. Again, search AM 970 The Answer and download our smartphone app today. That way, you can take us wherever you go.
Breaking news and local news. Find it on our website, am970theanswer.com.
And now, from New York, back to Radio Night Live. Here's Kevin McCullough.
All right, welcome back. It's Legal Night, and it's one of my favorite nights because I love just, how often do you get to have one of New York's most beloved attorneys just sit in your studio and just pound them with questions all night, which is basically what I get to do. Imran, you give me a free legal education every Thursday, and I'm so thankful for it. We were talking about the immunity case. That's going to take off here. The ballot access case has been decided. The civil case in New York, we didn't do an update on that yet. What's the latest with Trump and the appeal? I know that they said that they were going to appeal it. Was he able to post the bond? What's the latest in terms of what we know where that's headed?
Yeah, no, there's really no real development on that, Kevin. I mean, there's a plan to appeal that verdict and also the judgment. And I would imagine that, you know, Donald Trump's legal team are gearing up for that appeal. Getting the record, isolating and identifying the issues that they feel are appellate issues and could lead to a reversal by the First Department, Appellate Division First Department. That judgment right now stands. I have not heard whether he has made the bond or not. I think we would have seen that headline if he had gone in and posted bond, Kevin. So the time,
but does that mean that his appeal then is not underway? Because there were headlines saying that he was appealing it.
Yeah, no, his appeal would be underway. It just, you can appeal the decision and not post the bond. You could appeal the decision, just means that you have to still pay up.
Okay.
While that decision and the briefing and the opposition is pending. So I have not seen, Kevin, and you know, I could fact check this, that he has posted the bond, which would be a very sizable amount. Right.
Now, you asked, well, I asked you about this 2 weeks ago, and then you were gone last week, and Andy McCarthy sat in for you, and you guys had different answers to the same question. Does he have to liquidate and turn cash in for the bond, or can he hold You know, there's seven skyscrapers on the West Side Highway. Can he give you the deed to one of those and it be more than one of the $2 billion building or something, and he needs to come up with $500,000 or $500 million. Can that substitute as the bond if it's posted and held, you know, by the state, whatever?
No, I think I am of the opinion that he actually has to post some money.
So he has to liquidate and turn properties into cash to get there.
I think he could use it as collateral.
Okay.
In terms of some surety on the bond, but I don't think he could just say, here's the deed to this building on the West Side.
Trump 4 or whatever. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Well, that's going to be, we'll see where that goes. Let's move south to Georgia, because if there is a case that has gone worse for the opponents of Trump, you cannot find one that has gone more kind of backwards or sideways than the Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade disaster. What has happened down there? And they had, everybody thought that they were kind of done with testimony and that they were moving towards, you know, a decision. And then all of a sudden on Wednesday of this week, they opened things back up and you started hearing from people that they were calling whistleblowers. Who were these whistleblowers? What are they adding to the discussion? What's the issue being settled here in the Fannie Willis case?
Yeah, no. So, Kevin, I mean, this testimony continues with the question is whether she should be disqualified as the district attorney, the prosecutor handling this case. I believe that today on the stand was Ashley Merchant, who is an attorney and was the individual who really sought to move to disqualify Fannie Willis. And there was some peppering of questions. The hearing was ongoing. And you have to take a step back and see what are the standards for why or how Fannie Willis should be disqualified. And it would be if there was a conflict of interest. And, you know, there's been a lot of testimony, including from individuals within her own office, as to whether this relationship was going, whether it was improper, and whether even the appearance of impropriety would be grounds to disqualify a prosecutor who holds a very serious and heightened role as an attorney and, you know, in their responsibility and their role as a prosecutor. And I think there may be a good chance that Fannie Willis ends up getting disqualified here. It doesn't mean the case goes away. It just means that she's disqualified from handling it.
It gets reassigned probably to a different prosecutor's office. Right. Well, all right. Well, let's take a break. We're coming right back. He's Imran Ansari. I'm Kevin McCullough. Don't go away.
This is Hugh Hewitt for townhall.com. President Trump had the border under control by the end of his first term, and Trump has promised to do so again quickly in a second term. President Biden, in the sharpest contrast of the campaign ahead, lost control of that border by simply abandoning the Trump policies. More than 9 million people have entered the country without permission in his first 3 years. That number, of course, does not include gotaways, the illegal immigrants who never, quote, encountered law enforcement. Add to this the death from the fentanyl streaming over our border with the illegal immigrants, and we see it all too clearly. The border is a mess, and it gets worse. Only 450 Chinese nationals were, quote, encountered at the border in 2021. By 2023, that number had swelled to, wait for it, over 24,000. We're looking at a national security issue of the first order. We need to get serious now.
Take it from Charlie Kirk.
As I read this New York Times article, so I read the New York Times so you don't have to. Salem Media Group reaches more people than they realize. This is my favorite line of the whole thing. Their hosts are big names and they have huge reach, which makes them one of the most powerful forces in conservative media.
Tap into our big names to help grow your business.
To find out more about it, reach out to our general sales manager, Laura Schaefer, by calling 212-857-9639.
Charlie Kirk explains why the left hates religion.
They hate Christianity because they do not want to acknowledge that there might be a transcendent order above themselves that governs the universe. It inherently makes them less powerful when they acknowledge that there is a sovereign God above them. It's humbling.
The Charlie Kirk Show, weekdays at noon, right before Dennis Prager at 1 on AM 970. The Answer.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
How did Joe Piscopo start your morning?
We do 4 hours a day. It's live radio. Everybody's listening to AM because you can only get the truth at AM radio. We're 4 hours of live radio. And that's you virtually, roughly, and sometimes more, sometimes three guests an hour, sometimes more. We're working it.
Listen to Joe Piscopo, weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on AM 970. The Answer.
We can tell you about the incredible success we bring to local businesses, but it's better when it comes directly from our satisfied clients. Here's just one example.
After searching for a new vendor to handle my search marketing campaign, I contacted Salem Surround after seeing the great work they did for another restoration company in the different market. Their team of experts recommended a mix of multiple tactics designed to get my business the most quality leads at the lowest cost, making my marketing budget stretch further. In our first year partnering with Salem Surround, we recorded our best year to date, and I've told many people how blessed I was to find them. The representative answered the phone every time I called and quickly addressed any questions or concerns I had.
Let Salem Surround give you an absolutely free audit of your current marketing and show you what your competition is doing. Then we come up with a personalized plan that's perfect for your needs. Google Salem Surround New York and let our marketing experts help you achieve real success. Remember to Google Salem Surround New York today.
America First with Sebastian Gorka. Weekday afternoons at 3 and evenings at 10 on AM 970. The Answer. And now, from New York, back to Radio Night Live. Here's Kevin McCullough.
All right, Kevin McCullough, Imran Ansari, glad to have you with us. We were talking the Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade cases. I heard, I was listening to Jonathan Turley from George Washington Law School in the D.C. area, and he was saying in an interview this week that even Fannie Willis's appearance before, you know, when the accusations first got made, she went to church and spoke from the pulpit at her church, and she kind of laid out and said, you know, these people are, it's she kind of sounded like Trump, actually. She was like, it's a witch hunt. They're after me. She blamed racism. There was a lot of things in there that, like, you know, you kind of was like, well, okay, kind of expect whatever. But the professor was saying that it is possible that even that speech is evidence of the attempt to distort the fact or to prevent the facts of the of what happened from coming to fruition. Have you ever seen that be used before, Imran? When, I mean, even before charges are filed or anything, someone go and speak publicly that is held as evidence in a trial of like a cover up?
Sure. I mean, words, you got to be careful with your words and where you're saying them. And if you're misleading,
I guess, especially if there's a record or a recording of it somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it would be an extrajudicial statement. And this was raised by Donald Trump's attorneys, Steve Sadow, in the hearing and closing arguments as to that speech in that church where she made those comments, and whether they were extrajudicial statements that were not only unethical but false and misleading. And, you know, those could have ramifications, especially if this turns into something more and ends up blowing up on Fannie Willis. You know, her words and statements, if they were misleading, misrepresenting, you know, the facts there, and then later on it's contradicted and inconsistent, it could certainly be used against her, and it has in this proceeding in court down in Georgia.
What's your hunch? You're good at reading juries and kind of the temperature of the room, and that's why you're on so many TV outlets and stuff. People ask your opinion on this. You've seen, like, where Fannie Willis started. You see where she's at right now. What's your
shorthand of what you think is going to happen in this case? Is it a judge that's just trying this? Is there a jury involved? What's the, give us the context and kind of what you think the outcome is leaning towards.
Sure. You know, Kevin, it's, the judge is going to make a decision on this. It's a motion for disqualification. So it's not a jury making the decision. It's a legal question that the judge has to weigh. And he's taken the testimony. He's heard evidence. He has the written submissions from the many defense counsel in the case and also the district attorney's office in support of Fani Willis. And ultimately, he's going to render a decision as to whether the conduct of Fani Willis rises to a level that would warrant disqualification under the law, and whether ethical violations, which was a argument that was put forth by Donald Trump's attorney, ethical violations can be the basis for disqualification, and whether in this case her conduct amounts to a conflict of interest or even the appearance of impropriety can give rise to disqualification in this context. And there was very lengthy arguments, Kevin, before the judge by the many defense counsel and then ultimately the prosecution on behalf of Fani Willis and the DA's office as to why she shouldn't be disqualified. But the judge is going to have to make that decision, not a jury.
So you've worked both sides. You've been a prosecutor. You've been a defense person. You understand kind of the all of the chess pieces here. That judge is looking at these pieces of evidence. If you were in the black robe, did the prosecution land the plane? Is this prosecution going to be lifted out of Fani Willis's purview and given to a different office, do you think? Like, what's your shorthand on this?
Yeah, so I mean, I listened to the testimony. I covered it live while I was on air in Law and Crime, while the closing argument.
Did you find the testimony believable? Was it strong in terms of its presentation in your estimation?
Yeah, so I mean, my take is that there is a high probability that disqualification may occur, and the judge may decide to go that route because these prosecutions need to have the sort of public assurance that there is that it's a transparent and apolitical process. And you want the public to have some confidence in what's going on there. And if disqualification is called for and taking Fani Willis out of her role in the case will allow some, you know, confidence in the proceedings down there, the judge is probably going to want that. He's not going to want to have a case before him where it's already suspect in many people's minds, right? And you wouldn't want to add to that by having Fani Willis, if there's any even an inclination that there's some impropriety there, conflict of interest, the safer bet is just to remove her from that role. The case still stands, and then put a new prosecutor in.
And then when you do that, then there's the question of, does a different prosecutor's office with a whole different team of prosecutors looking at the same evidence that Fani Willis's team assembled, do they even come to an understanding of RICO or conspiracy, which is, you know, they haven't really, at least not yet, in the Trump side of this case, they haven't demonstrated that there was an organization of some sort that was kind of coordinating all of it. And I don't know. I mean, that's a much deeper conversation on a different time that we can get into in terms of what constitutes RICO. But it's my understanding from speaking with prosecutors that RICO is a very hard case to bring to begin with. And that's if you do have some evidence that conspiracy took place.
Yeah, RICO cases are inherently difficult cases to prove and bring. So when you're a prosecutor and you're thinking about bringing a RICO claim, or even if you're a private or civil attorney bringing a civil RICO claim, you have to make sure you have the evidence to support that. Otherwise, you're going to face a real problem bringing the case to a jury and ultimately proving it beyond a reasonable doubt in a criminal RICO case. You may not survive a motion to dismiss because you won't have enough of the elements satisfied in order to bring a RICO case.
Yeah. Okay, when we come back, no more Trump cases. We're talking Esquire etiquette with Imran Ansari himself. Stay here.
My name is Imran Ansari, and I lead the civil litigation division of Idala, Bertuna, and Kamins. Suffering an injury in an accident can be a life-changing experience. Whether you've been involved in a car accident, a construction site accident, a slip and fall, or injured because of someone else's negligence, we can help. Our team of experienced trial attorneys will never settle for less than what you are owed. We are always ready to go to court to fight for you and seek justice. If you have been injured because of someone else's negligence, you have legal rights and may be entitled to significant money to compensate you for your pain and suffering. Hiring the right attorney is important. The combined experience of the lawyers at Idala, Bertuna, and Kamins will be able to lead you through the personal injury lawsuit process and aggressively fight for the best result. If you or a loved one have been injured in an accident, don't delay. Call 212-486-0011, 212-486-0011, or visit us at idalalaw.com. Idala, Bertuna, and Kamins, fighting for justice, fighting for you.
Are you ready for an adventure of a lifetime? Journey with me, Dr. Sebastian Gorka, and my friend and colleague Mike Gallagher on the Patriots Alaska Cruise this summer. An incredible opportunity to engage with other like-minded patriots on an epic 7-day cruise over 4th of July weekend. Witness the untouched wilderness of Alaska over pristine water, all while celebrating America's past and future. June 29th to July 6th. Call 855-565-5519 or go to PatriotsAlaskaCruise.com.
You have all helped support MyPillow and their employees in these tough economic times. Mike Lindell knows this and continues to give back to listeners with deals on his most popular products. You've heard me recently speak about the My Slippers, Giza Sheets, MyPillow 2.0, and more. Great news! The MyPillow 6-pack bath towel sets are back in stock. They are extremely absorbent, yet still provides that soft feel you look for in a towel. The set comes with 2 bath towels, 2 hand towels, and 2 washcloths. Regular price is $79.98 for a limited time. You can get this 6-pack towel set for only $39.99 with promo code JOEP. That's a 50% savings. Go to MyPillow.com. Call 800-651-0798. Use the promo code JOEP to save 50% on the MyPillow 6-pack towel sets.
Want to listen to AM 970 The Answer on the go? There's an app for that. Download our free smartphone app so you can listen to all your favorite shows, keep up with us on social media, enter contests, win prizes, and even interact with our hosts all in one place. Just search AM 970 The Answer in the iPhone App Store or the Google Play Store for the Android. Again, search AM 970 The Answer and download our smartphone app today. That way, you can take us wherever you go.
AM 970, The Answer.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Brandon Tatum is next on AM 970, The Answer. Once again, from New York, here's Radio Night Live and Kevin McCullough.
All right, final few minutes of Legal Night. Always, so I hope that you've found this interesting, friends. So many details in all of these cases to watch. And I really, if you listen to Imran every week on this show, the advantage is when you go back to watching your normal news, you know more than a lot of the pundits that they have sitting there commentating, because Imran knows more than a lot of those guys. So Imran, thank you as always for such a well-informed and informational late in the night tonight. What's your Esquire etiquette for us this week?
Sure. So, Kevin, I want to give my Esquire etiquette as to the great civil service of jury duty. So this is more just a take from being on trial last week. So yeah, let's just say you receive notice that you are summoned for jury duty. A lot of people get it's a burden, takes them out of their everyday life, but you shouldn't be so adverse to the idea of jury duty. And if you're selected for a jury, I would say you should embrace it, because I always, when I pick a jury and I come into the room, And my adversary and I let the jurors who have been selected know that they have been selected for a jury, or in a criminal case, a judge will, you know, inform them that they've been selected for a jury. Sometimes you get an audible groan or an eye roll because they feel that they're going to be taken out of their everyday life. And even though that happens, at the end of the trial, when we're able to speak to the jurors again, it's more often than not that the juror gives feedback that they found it to be one of the most interesting experiences they've had in their life. And they're thankful for the experience. And it gives you a glimpse of our awesome justice system. I mean, there's flaws, but it's the best in the world, I would say. And it allows you to be a participant in a very critical role. And that is the justice system. Here in the United States, and sitting on a trial, rendering a decision with your fellow jurors. So next time you're summoned for jury duty, don't be so quick to try to get out of it. You may want to embrace it because it could be a very rewarding experience.
Well, you know what's interesting, and I, as soon as I say this, you know, it's going to come back to haunt me, but I'm in my 50s. I have never been summoned for jury duty. And almost everybody that I know on some level has. In fact, when our buddy Frank Morano was still working for the station, I think he got summoned for jury duty like 4 times in 3 years or something. I mean, it was crazy the amount of times he was like going to, you know, sit on trials and stuff. And I have yet to ever be asked. Is that unusual? I mean, we do have 330 million people here. I get that. But I just find it a little bit ironic that I've never in... And I've lived in a lot of places, Texas, Illinois, New York, New Jersey. Never once have I been summoned.
Yeah, that is a little odd. You never, you know, not to get the little mailing in the mail saying report down to the courthouse, Kevin. But now that you've said it, you know, it's going to be in your mailbox.
you know, it's going to be like next week, like tomorrow. Yeah. It's going to be in my mailbox. And it'll probably be some like 50-week murder trial that I'll be sequestered forever in. But anyway, okay, good stuff. Imran, always a joy to see you. Thank you for being with us tonight.
Thanks for having me, Kevin.
You got it. Kevin McCullough coming. Well, we'll see you tomorrow for the Fun Friday. We'll talk then.